were saying, like, the world is so broken there can't be a God. And then at the same time, like, but I'm not broken.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine. There's nothing wrong with me or the way that I love. Welcome back to Jesus versus America. Jesus told us we couldn't serve two masters, and so many of us are trying to follow Jesus, and yet we're influenced by the American culture. I'm John, and I'm joined by my good friends Monique and Wisdom. We represent three generations trying to faithfully follow Jesus. And this podcast is really about untangling the Christian faith from the influence of the American culture. Most of the time when we talk about that, it seems that we're talking to the people on the more conservative end of the spectrum saying you're bringing in too much of American culture, but we all do this. And today's topic might actually address a little bit more of those on the progressive and the liberal side. The question we received that we're answering is, how can love ever be a sin? And before we even dive in to just address where that comes from, and of course, that question is usually directed by people who are trying to focus more of this subject on how the church has treated the LGBTQ plus community, and really how we responded, what have we fallen short in, or where are we doing an okay job of representing the scripture. But before we get to those topics, which are coming up in other episodes, I think it's interesting to note that even the question, how could love ever be a sin, comes from a cultural entanglement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it seems that one of our cultural ideas is love is always right. Mm-hmm. Love is never
wrong. It's always good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's never anything negative about love. Yeah. So I just want to start, since this show is about untangling the American culture.
God is love.
Right. So then that means that all of our romantic loves could never be wrong. And they really overcome every objection to the contrary. Mm-hmm. So probably in a previous episode, I had said that I was struggling with the fact that even my own heterosexuality is sinful in certain ways and broken and not the way that it was originally supposed to be. And that maybe even some of the desires I have been tainted by those things.
No, and that it doesn't just touch one community.
Right. And yet that people responded. People didn't like the fact that I even said that about my own self. I mean, if you knew, you would say it too. But people were like, no, what we want you to do is just affirm that everything is okay, not that something might be broken. And so let's start there. Is that really a cultural entanglement? I mean, is that where this is coming from, where we've done the very thing that we're trying to avoid, which is immediately jump in and say, I don't care what the scripture says. I'm going to let whatever our cultural norms about love rule this issue.
I think we don't have it's not common in our society to call something broken. It's so antithetical to what we see in scripture.
We're born perfect. Everyone is perfect.
Call something broken. And I think that is such a foundational teaching that is not being taught to Christians living in this culture. Yeah. Like, what is our hamartiology? Like, our theology of sin? Like, something, we had something and beautiful and it was broken, and now we are in the business of restoration and redemption, and because the kingdom of God has been initiated, so we're moving forward and trying to redeem that. That is such a missed message in the church, and it's really surprising because it's so foundational to that, especially in this culture that doesn't like to call things broken on all things.
Yeah, and what that just kind of made me think about too, I think that is true. It's not, culturally speaking, especially in the West and America, to say any of us are broken is not a popular thing. It's like, you're good, you're perfect. Like, we've taken self-love to a very extreme level. Not that self-love isn't important, but we've taken it to an extreme level. And so I almost think that it's like, it's just like, love can't be bad. And we don't learn about the sin piece that you were talking about. So it almost creates a Christian culture where we're like, we're not the broken ones. That community's broken. Yeah. My sexual sin, like, oh, maybe I struggle a little bit with lust or whatever, that doesn't really mean I'm broken. It's just like a normal, like, temptation. But like, you out there in this other community, you're the broken one. So like, what you're talking about almost leads itself. There's those, the two extremes where like, everything about love is amazing, or or we're not really the broken ones. There are people that are more broken in the world, and not really understanding that a fallen world touches literally every single person on this planet leads to the subjugation and the othering of very specific topics, which is so strange and to me not a Jesus thing at all, because he was eating meals with the what society thought was the worst of the people and found them to be like lovely supper company, you know what I mean, like and people that were deserving of, I'm using this word again in the good way, of love and of his love and like to understand what that means. So
yeah, but we're taking romantic love in our society, and you know the ideas of love conquers all, like
love wins,
right? Love wins, or follow your heart in all of these things, right? So these are the ways that we talk to each other on Instagram. These are the ways we share memes. These are the little wisdoms we share to each other. But in the end, like, none of us are going back saying, "Is that the way the scripture does it?" And both of you have highlighted that we don't want to talk about the brokenness, and that's not just inside. That's outside. Like, it is not a popular notion to say that the Christian faith, one of its teachings is that sin has infected everything, right?
Everything.
And so our desires are not pure. Our ways of seeing the world are not pure. Our ways of loving our neighbors is not pure. Like,
everything's even though everything just a little bit slanted. Yeah. And if everything has a different lens now.
I've said this to people who feel uncomfortable with that when they look at themselves. I'm like, okay, fine, hold that. Can you look at humanity as a whole and the history of it? Can you call it broken then? Like, when you zoom out a little bit and not just yourself, like you're one broken person.
Well,
and
it's easy when it's like, look at the war that's going on and the devastation and the hunger. Then it's like, it's too broken for God to even exist. Like,
but so we'll acknowledge it's broken then when we look at the zoom out of humanity. But when we look at our own selves, we don't acknowledge that.
That's such a good point.
I think that is astute, because we're saying like the world is so broken, there can't be a God. And then at the same time, like, I'm not broken. I'm totally
I'm
fine.
Perfect.
There's nothing wrong with me or the way that I love.
Isn't that so interesting?
And so the question really is like, how can love ever be a sin? But I'm just going to think of like a couple of examples that come from the scripture. Like, one of them is having adultery, for example. Like, you might like, imagine if your defense to adultery in the scripture was like, you know,
but I
love her and I love him or whatever it is. You're just saying like, so you're in a relationship, you're in a marriage, whatever it is. And then you're saying, but I love this other person. And I think that is where some of our society would go. They'd start asking those deeper questions. Like, is it then ever a sin? Can we just wipe away all sin if you just love someone?
Ooh, but then you just take it. Like, I could see some people taking it so far.
My mind is going there.
But you're just like, but are you happy now? And are, even though you've broken a family,
you've broken laws,
trust, and or laws or whatever. You've hurt children or like. Doing something in the name of love, like.
But that's our cultural bias. That's how it gets entangled, because you're saying to your
all's fair in love and war.
All of these things don't come, like, let's just be clear. They might even be correct, but they don't come from the scripture. You have to decide, who are you following? That's why Jesus says you can't follow two masters. I mean, you can follow the idea that love conquers everything and love is the most important thing. And what you're doing is then you've created a faith based on feelings of love. And if you are right and there is no God and the world is not broken and sin did not taint anything, then, well, I guess then you're right, right? Do whatever you want to do, right? But we can't say that, at least from a biblical standpoint, that like, you, if you say, how can love ever be a sin? I think another example is people who aren't married. Like, the Bible says, like, to be in a sexual relationship, you need to be in a marriage, right? So if you say, well, but I'm not in a marriage right now, or I had a marriage, but I'm no longer in that marriage, I just decide that I want to have sex. Like, the Bible would say that actually is sin, right? That's what the Bible says. But you might go, but I love that person. And I'd be like, yep, been there, know what you're talking about, right? That doesn't mean that because we feel that way, it overwhelms the very teachings of scripture. And that's what I think is the real interesting perspective on this question, is it isn't so much that we're going to solve in just one short episode, like, that this is the right way, this is the wrong way. We've got some work to do to get to those areas.
And it's also what that's communicating is also, but I love them. Is this one action or thing the only way you can love someone? Like, so a person who's like wanting to sleep with their partner prior to marriage, but I love them. Is that the only way you can love them? Can you love them with your loyalty and your commitment to them? Can you love them with your honesty? Love them with your vulnerability? Like, it's putting such a narrow pathway on loving someone.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
I think we've decided what our authority is in that case, which is what I want to do or what I feel feels right. And believe me, I've been there. It feels great. It feels right. You know, like it feels everything.
How could
about
this
it,
possibly right? be wrong? This it's so fulfilling be. In the moment or right. whatever. Yeah.
Right. And that's exactly right. Is at some point, then our faith really is in that. And that's what we're really calling yeah. out. Like if we're going to yeah. untangle things,
yeah.
one of the things we have to untangle is what are you really following?
Yeah.
And in many of those cases, you're following your feelings. You're following a cultural idea.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is the popular cultural idea right now. That's the thing. Like if you know, there's nothing that is more popularly spread than that love wins, conquers all is the right answer in every case. And okay, then you're following that. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Right? That's a choice that you've right. made. The scripture would actually say, yeah, love can be a sin. There are places where you're not allowed to do certain yeah. things, right? And we don't even have to slide into a whole discussion about other ways to engage in love. This is really just talking to people who know intuitively that when they read the scripture and says, you shall not commit adultery, like nobody's like, I don't know about that, right? Like, yeah. Most of us are like, yeah, I think we accept that. I think yeah. we accept that. Even our culture kind of accepts that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even
yeah.
our culture accepts that for the most part. That's yeah. going to be out there.
I mean,
there
there's
in the
a lot
culture.
Of polyamorous people out there. The more love, the
Shout
better. And we'll definitely defend that lifestyle, and I'm not coming for any particular lifestyle at all right now, but I think there are consequences to all the choices that we make, and we need to think about it. And what's interesting to me about this question from starting here is that we're not talking about any particular community. It's just an interesting question, no matter what side you are on about sexuality, the idea like, but does the Bible say it can be wrong? Because I think people don't ask that question. And so the fact that we're zoning in first on like, can love actually be sinful in some way is very interesting. And I think, yes, I think clearly, yes, the heart is deceitful. You can do something out of love for someone that hurts others and hurts yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's the interesting question. It's not to use it and be like, see, well, then these people are wrong and these people are in it. No, just that question, like, can love be wrong? Can it be sinful? Can it be hurtful? Can you hurt with love? Mm-hmm. As much as love is important and can be healing, and the way that we are to love one another, like in Christ, like love your neighbor. We've taken that, and I think we've expanded it to everything, probably a little too generously. So if you just can be honest with yourself and not get ahead of where you think this question is leading, and just let yourself sit in dissecting the question of like, but is there an instance, no matter what your belief is about whatever, is there an instance where loving is wrong or leads to something wrong?
Yeah. Is there a place where the Bible says this love might not be right in this mm-hmm. circumstance? And I think I would go a little bit further to say we can't answer those other questions
without we've
at least acknowledged mm-hmm. that this question first is heavily influenced by the culture. It's not yeah. heavily influenced by scripture.
Yeah.
And if we're going to look scripturally at what the Bible might say about some of these other issues and hold the church to task, mm-hmm. we also have to hold the people who are basically holding on to society to task. Like
yeah.
We have to do both, because mm-hmm. that's what our job is to mm-hmm. do. But mm-hmm. this is kind of like one of those points where we have to pause here. And this is why we chose to do it in one of these responses to the comments.
Yeah.
Because it was a great comment.
Yeah.
It's a comment we hear all the time.
All the
but
time.
We wanted to
yeah.
say, but this is the interesting thing about this comment.
Yeah.
We need to address it and say, yes, actually the Bible does say that. You're free to reject that view. Right.
Yeah.
And second, most of the reason we reject it is because it comes from a culture that just thinks nothing is more important than love. And romantic love, by the way.
Yeah.
Not love for mm-hmm. others, not love for neighbor, not love for God. Like nothing is more important than
romantic
love.
That
is
yeah.
the highest form of love. And the Bible
finding
actually
your
says,
soulmate.
The like... Bible actually says, no, that's actually not true. The highest form of love is to God and to neighbor mm-hmm. and to others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that it doesn't talk about romantic love, mm-hmm. right? But mm-hmm. we've made it into
the
pinnacle.
Ultimate.
It's everything.
And
right?
I would say to the Christians who are trying to be like, wait a minute, like it's not about love. It's like the gospel's not about love. Let me fine tune it. Like the gospel is about love, but it is a greater love has no man than this, that he lay his life down for his friends. It's a love where there is a sender, his name is Jesus, and we are the recipients. That is the love that when yeah. we say the gospel is a love story,
yeah.
it is There's a sender and a receiver, yeah. and that's the one that is we put on the pedestal.
Yeah, we love because he first loved us. Yes. Like, there's so much of that, but that's the thing.
That beautiful language. Yeah.
And we have one word in English of love. And of course, the biblical authors had multiple words to use, right? So we kind of have that problem where we've kind of conflated them all together. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're a careful student of the Bible, you'll quickly realize that there is an order to what love is, right? And what love we give. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're in a good spot where we can at least say, in our view, yes, there can be something that is sinful about every part of us, not just the way we love, about many of the ways we live, the way we use money.
Something sinful about everything.
Yes. Right? It's not just about this, but we can't go much further to address the other issues we want to address without at least saying, this is one of those areas
where
people...
Can it even be?
Yeah. Because people can't hear it if they're going to be so... If we're going to be like shouted down by a culture that says like love is everything and nothing else matters, that's a different faith, right? And then that's fine. You've chosen something different. The Christian faith follows a different view of God and love. And we're going to try to stick as close to that as possible. But even our interpretation is tainted. Right? Even everything we do, we're going to try really hard. But thank you for the question, because these are the exact kind of things that we want to do to talk about. And they're going to help us to build one on top of the other to get to some of these harder questions that we have to answer. This is Jesus versus America.
Follow us on all social media platforms at Jesus versus America. And find more resources on our official website, JesusVersusAmerica.com.